Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello and a very happy Friday. Thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast on the 1st of August. Coming up, we're going to hear from Kent's Director of Public Health about the importance of protecting children against measles. An historic plane has gone on display at Rochester Cathedral and, would you believe it, Gillingham are getting ready to start the new season. But first, a woman whose mum is being treated at Medway Maritime Hospital has raised concerns about a mice infestation on the ward. 82-year-old Christine Dobbs was reluctantly admitted after suffering a fall at home. We've been chatting to Chelsea Field, who's her daughter.
I was about quarter to eight in the evening. She found me screaming and crying. I mean, I could see the ward was dirty, but I never sort of said it because I had our job to get her to get there, go there in the first place. She was screaming down the phone about mice. And the biggest fear of hers are mice, rats. We're not allowed the back door open when we're in her house, where I am now, in case something runs in. But she see mice and that running across the ward. And then they started looking around. There was mice in the drawers that next to her hospital beds, all over her clean nighties, her clean underwear. They wouldn't get the mouse out the drawers. They just pushed it to the middle of the ward. That's, no one would move it because Casey beat them. So, yeah, that's where we're at. And it's just dirty. They did eventually the next day clean everything up. They basically tipped her drawer out into a large, like, sack, bin bag, and tied it up for me to bring home. So I didn't even know if the mouse was still in the bag or not when I got home with her dirty stuff. And, yeah, they've cleaned the walls. But then the next day, there was mice back in the lady opposite, been back in her drawers because there was more mice droppings, bag had been chewed. Someone had filled the hole up with rubber gloves, of all things, but there's bound to be more holes. One of the cleaners told us where all the food is being prepared. It's absolutely running alive with them. It's just unacceptable. I mean, there's a lot of nearly all elderly people on that ward. You know, a lot of them have got lots wrong with them, and this just ain't going to make it no better. They're going to end up getting ill or dying, you know, if something's not done very soon. I mean, the care has been good, yeah, you know, they've been really good, but for cleanliness, it's absolutely disgusting. I mean, my mum's been a taxpayer all her life, you know, and there's millions of others that have it. Where is this money gone? You know, why is someone not checking up? You know, there must be a team leader with the cleaners. Look, come on. I mean, apart from the rat's poop, you can see the corners hadn't even, you know, behind the beds hadn't even been cleaned, let alone with all the mice poo and that. It's just terrible. It's disgusting.
Now, it's not the first time concerns have been raised about pests at the hospital, with footage showing another mouse there back in February. We've had this response from the Trust Deputy Chief Operating Officer.
We are very sorry for the distress this incident has caused and are taking the concerns raised seriously. Our estates and facilities teams, alongside external pest control specialists, are investigating the report as a matter of urgency and carrying out additional cleaning and monitoring in the area. Patients, visitors and staff are encouraged to report any sightings so that we can act immediately and maintain the highest standards of cleanliness across the hospital.
You can read this story in full and see images from the hospital at Kent Online.
Kent Online News.
Other top stories for you. And almost 900 people crossed the Channel to Kent in 13 small boats on Wednesday. It takes the total number of asylum seekers who've made the journey so far this year to more than 25,000. That's up 51% on this point in 2024, and the fastest time that figure has been reached. Ministers insist they're cracking down on people smuggling gangs. Three people have been charged by police investigating a series of burglaries across West Kent. Carlson jewellery were taken from 12 homes in Tunbridge, Sevenoaks and Tunbridge Wells between October last year and this January. Two men and a woman from Beckenham and Orpington are due in court in September. Three teenagers have been arrested after cocaine deals were found in a village in Medway. Police have been called to reports of suspicious behaviour in the street in High Halstow in the early hours of Wednesday. Suspected drugs were found in a car and nearby house. One 18-year-old's been charged. Two other boys have been bailed. Now, parents in Kent are being urged to make sure their children are fully vaccinated as levels of measles remain high. 145 cases in England have been detected this month alone, and it's said to be spreading fast in London. Uptake of the MMR jab here in the county is currently at around 84%. That's well below the World Health Organization's target of 95%. Dr. Anjan Ghosh is Kent's Director of Public Health. He's been speaking to reporter Millie Bowles.
Since COVID, especially you'll remember during the lockdown, etc., the childhood vaccination program suffered. So lots of children did get vaccinated. So there's ever since then been a drop in the number of people, children particularly, being vaccinated.
I don't know what you've seen yourself, but there's a lot of conversation on social media and that kind of thing. And I've seen it personally in like local Facebook groups that are relevant to Kent as well, of parents choosing not to vaccinate their children at all. Can you explain what risks they're facing or putting their children into by not choosing to vaccinate them?
Enormous risk. So there's a whole vaccination program around a number of illnesses. It's not just measles. So MMR stands for measles, mumps, rubella. And then you've got other diseases like polio, diphtheria, and several others. So all of those are vaccine preventable diseases, and some of the biggest advances in public health have happened as on account of these vaccinations. Now, just for MMR, I don't know whether listeners are aware of this, that it's been around since the early 1970s, so it's almost as old as I am. So it's been around for half a century, this vaccine. So it's very safe. Half a century is a long time to really understand and improve on the vaccine and see its effects. And it's probably one of the most effective vaccinations in existence. So taking that vaccination is really, really crucial. I think there's a lot of misconceptions and also conflation with COVID vaccination and the kind of worries that some groups of people had around COVID vaccination have spilled over into vaccinations in general. So that's a whole separate story. But essentially, my message is, please don't conflate the two. This is a set of vaccines which have a tried and tested, very vigorous and very rigorous history. And it's tried and tested. So it's absolutely essential.
Kent Online reports.
Firefighters have spent more than 10 hours tackling a blaze at a derelict school in Hythe. Crews were called to the former Foxwood site in Seabrook Road late last night, and work's continuing to put out the flames. Anyone in the area has been told to keep their doors and windows closed because of the large amount of smoke. South East Water bosses are set to be called to a public meeting after thousands of homes in Whitstable and Herne Bay were left without supplies. Taps ran dry during last month's heatwave for up to 6 days. Well, City Council bosses have voted in favour of writing to the company's CEO after hearing how residents were affected by the outage. Elsewhere, people living on a road in Herne Bay are worried their homes will become uninsurable unless more is done to protect them from flooding. Nursery Lands off Eddington Lane has regularly been left underwater during spells of heavy rain. Neighbours want improvements to drainage systems in the area. The County Council say they understand the concerns and engineers are inspecting the site. From today, caravans are banned from being left on a stretch of the seafront on Sheppey. Overnight parking charges have also been introduced at the shingle bank off Marine Parade after residents said the area had become like a squatter camp. CCTV has also been installed. Now, plans to help families in Medway with the cost of living have been renewed for another year. A crisis response scheme was set up in 2023, and council bosses say they've helped thousands of families with financial support and advice. That includes preventing more than 300 households from having to use emergency accommodation. It comes as a Medway man who needed to use a food bank has told the podcast how much a difference the Tons of Tins campaign on our sister radio station KMFM will make. Today is the final day to donate to the appeal, which will replenish stocks at food banks across the county this summer. Peter from Raynham has been telling presenter Andy Walker why he got involved.
Last year I got out of work and ended up needing to use a food bank myself, and I like kind of giving back to people and organisations who have supported me. So when I heard it come back, me and my daughter decided to go Tesco's, buy loads of tins and bring them down.
Can I ask as well, it's quite a personal question, but how long did you rely on a food bank for?
About a month or two, but I only went and used one food bank once, and then I used Raynham's got a community pantry kind of food banking thing. I used that once or twice as well.
Again, quite a personal question. If you hadn't used a food bank, or if there weren't food banks there, what would you have done?
I would probably have sorted out, obviously speaking to my family to see if they'll help, which I know they would. But it's just like, and if it's even when going to the food bank, it's one of them just awkward conversations to have.
How helpful did you find the food banks?
Really helpful, because I went along there, I felt really like anxious and like worried because I didn't know what to do or expect or anything. When I went in there, they were really friendly. They helped me go through all the stuff, explained it all to me, and then helped me work out what like food, what I had, what I could get, and anything that I would need or wouldn't need, depending on what they had. They even gave me some information of other like support or things that might be helpful.
And what was the process like when you went in? So that first time that you went in and you weren't quite sure what to do, was it a case of they spoke to you, asked you what your situation was, and then you could just help yourself, or...?
You go along, they ask you a couple of questions. You normally have to get like a voucher or something, and then they get like a small bit of paper with a list of different items. So it might say like cereal or squash juice, and then you get to choose a select number of things from the list, and then they'll take the list out the back and they'll basically bag you up items, what we've selected, and like so many of certain items for you to take away.
Is there anything you'd like to say for those who are listening, could be in a similar situation, perhaps they've lost a job, or because everybody's feeling the pinch at the moment financially and may need a food bank but maybe hesitating, what would you say to them?
They're there to help, so I know it's a bit nerve-wracking and worrying, all that, try and get over that, just speak to them, get the help, because it's better to have help and then help relax you and calm you, and then stressing yourself out even more because you haven't got something.
Thank you so much for your incredible donations to this campaign. We've raised more than £11,000 and received physical donations of food too. Deliveries are going to be made to 16 food banks in Kent later this month.
Kent Online reports.
Plans for a major redevelopment of a Kent shopping centre have been given the go-ahead. Up to £68 million is going to be spent on Royal Victoria Place in Tunbridge Wells. It'll include a new cinema, bar, restaurant and housing. Meantime, plans for a solar farm in a rural part of Kent have been scaled back. The people behind the plans for the farmland between Ridley and New Ash Green have removed proposals for a battery energy storage system. Residents are being asked again what they think of the idea, which will cover 235 acres and power more than 17,000 homes. Work's getting underway to improve an historic part of Faversham. Town Quay is home to a Grade 2 listed warehouse and pump house that show the important role the creek used to play. The site has been temporarily fenced off. The Town Council say the nearby moorings remain open. A project supporting men's mental health has opened at the site of a former paper mill near Canterbury. The facility in Chatham closed in 2022 after the company went into administration. One of the old labs there is now being used by Chatham Men's Shed following a grant from the Parish Council. A newly restored plane dating back to the 1930s is going on display at Rochester Cathedral. The aircraft was built in the Short Brothers factory, which was once located on Rochester Esplanade. It fell into disrepair before being bought in 2013. Robin Heaps is from the Medway Aircraft Preservation Society.
This aircraft we bought from the previous owners. It was at a hangar at Redhill Aerodrome in Surrey. In 2013, we brought it to Rochester, and all we had was the frame of the fuselage, part of the frame of one of the wings, a little bit more, a little bit less of the other one, and that's about it.
And I was just being told about there was some worry about whether or not it would fit. Can you tell me a bit about that?
We did some pretty good plans about how it fit in here, and we haven't had any problems getting it in physically. The tightest thing was to get the wings in through the door.
And tell me a bit about, you've been putting it all together. How long has this been taking?
We started in 2013 and we've just about finished it. There's a little bit of finishing still to do when we get it back, so it'll probably take the best part of another year, I would think.
Right, and how much of that is historical accuracy, making sure when you're making it, you're keeping to that original kind of template?
We have used some original short images. We didn't have any drawings, and we've scaled those up from the measurements that we've taken from the fuselage. And basically, that's where we've gone from. Everything is as authentic as we can make it. But yes, there will be minor differences. But then I believe every plane was made slightly differently anyhow. It's been very much a challenge to try and reverse engineer the bits we had and use other information to try and make the thing as accurately as we could. Luckily, it's all gone together in a reasonably short time down here, because this is the first time we've had both wings on at the same time, and it's been up on the beaching trolley.
Alison Young is a freelance curator who's working on the Short Brothers Gallery.
I think a lot of people have never heard of shorts. They don't know it existed. One of the key things is that there's very little tangible evidence left of shorts in Rochester. So whereas with Chatham Dockyard, you've got all the buildings and things, there's nothing left of shorts really, other than the two ramps on the Esplanade and a hangar up at the airport. So for most, to a large extent, there's no trace of the place. And so even people that live on Shorts Way don't know why it's called Shorts Way. So we're really keen to tell people first and foremost why all these amazing things happened locally on their doorstep. And also that 15,000 people worked at Shorts at its peak during the war. So many people have stories to tell about their family's involvement with Shorts.
Amazing. And tell us a bit about what people can expect in this gallery. What sort of things will you be specifically doing? We've got these panels. Is that everything? Talk us through it.
No, there's a lot more than just the panels. So we've got 9 lovely panels documenting the story of Shorts from the early days when they were at the Isle of Sheppey, all the way through to when they left Rochester and went to Belfast in 1948. This was their kind of golden age of innovation here. So we cover everything from what it was like to work there. We're really keen to get across what it was as a place of employment and all the different jobs involved and just how amazing it was, the things that they actually managed to achieve. Bearing in mind, they didn't have calculators, they didn't have computers. This was all done with slide rules. We've then also gone through all the different planes that they've innovated. Their work was incredibly innovative. It actually did genuinely inspire rocket science. So their Mayo composite plane actually inspired the space shuttle that carried another plane. So it's everything they did was massively innovative.
And finally, a shipwreck off the Kent coast is said to be potentially one of the best preserved wooden ships. The 18th century vessel is around 20 metres underwater at the Goodwin Sands near Deal. A recent survey's found wooden decks, copper cauldrons and cannonballs that have survived.
Kent Online Sport.
Football Now and Gillingham kick off the new season this weekend. They're making the long trip to Accrington Stanley in League 2. The Gills ended last season 17th in the table, but will be pushing for a much higher finish this time around first. Let's hear from midfielder Johnny Williams.
I think speak on behalf of everyone in the squad. We're very excited. This was a really exciting time, you know, start of the season. Everyone's at level playing field and everyone wants to get off to a good start. So, I think pre-season's just part and parcel of football, but as footballers, you want to be playing for 3 points on a Saturday and, can't come quick enough and we're ready to go.
Do you still get the same butterflies and adrenaline running through you now than you did perhaps when you had your first full season as a pro?
Yeah, for sure. I'm really excited to get off to a good start. You know, the last couple of seasons that I've been here, we've really started the season really well. So if we can replicate that again, it'll be great. We just need to be a bit more consistent than we have been in the last couple of seasons. But we've got off to flying starts. So if we could replicate them starts, it'd be amazing.
Next, we can hear from boss Gareth Ainsworth, who says he's looking forward to getting the season started.
We're lucky people to be involved in this sport, and I want the guys to grab everything by the scruff of the neck and go for it. You know, they've got nothing to fear. pretty good place, you know. Really pleased with how the week's gone, how pre-season's gone, you know. You got one or two knocks, but a lot of teams will have that. And looking forward to getting stuck into the proper games, yeah, really am, you know. And let's see, it'd be a great barometer for everybody, every club, you know. And believe me, this game doesn't sort your season out, without a doubt. You know, it can sometimes give kicks up the backside, or sometimes let you know that you've done the right things, or whatever it is. You know, we're going to travel tomorrow. We're going up to Accrington, and I'm hoping the boys give a really good account of themselves, because positive move in the camp, as it always will be. I won't have any negativity. I won't have any disappointment. Let's go for it. It's an honour to wear this shirt and represent Gillingham FC, and I'm sure the boys will give it their all.
You'll be able to follow the match action during the season at kentonline.co.uk. Plus, we'll have reaction in full to the result in Monday's episode of the podcast. On to tennis, and Kent's Emma Raducanu's back in action at the Canadian Open later. She's taking on Wimbledon runner-up Amanda Anisimova. It follows the British number one's win over American Peyton Stearns. Tributes have been paid to one of Kent's greatest ever footballers. John Ripley was the record goal scorer at Dartford during his 12-year career. He made 512 appearances for the club and has passed away at the age of 81. And in cricket, Kent are going to be hoping for more play on the final day of the county championship match against Leicestershire. The rain yesterday meant less than 10 overs were bowled, with Kent reaching 217 for 3 in their first innings. They're trailing by 254 runs. Ben Compton was due to resume today on 111 not out. Well, that's all from us. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on socials. Plus, you can get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And whilst you're on the website, you can also sign up to Kent Online Premium. Now, that gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories. And if you use the promo code Nicola Everett, or one word at the checkout, you'll get £30 off the price of an annual subscription. Don't forget to check out the latest review from our secret drinker when you're on the site today. Have a fantastic weekend. We'll be back with the podcast on Monday.
News you can trust. This is the Kent Online Podcast.